Good evening, Roxy Soxy.
Good evening, Tam. Tam, how you doing?
I'm sorry I rushed you tonight. I was like, we have to talk to these people and you have to get your child from school to dancing back, feed her, give her a bath and be on time and look really hot.
You know, all the things I do every day, yeah. Right? No, it's so funny, Tam. And I've officially hit, because you know, my husband.
Rock bottom.
Yes, he's left me. I'm leaving him.
He's left me.
Yes, he's been out of town since last Wednesday. This is his first business trip.
Business, sure. He's like having luxury, like doing golf for 3 days.
I know. In Miami, then New York. I'm like, really, fucker. But anyway, so I officially have hit the three stages of emotion once your spouse goes out of town the first time after the pandemic.
That's so true.
Here is what has happened.
Okay.
The first 2 days was like bliss. I was like,
oh, of course.
Yes. I'm like, I can watch whatever I want. I can like eat or not eat.
Bitching. I love it.
I love it. Somebody on my shoulder asking, telling me he's hungry and like all this stuff. And then like the weekend happened and I was like, I kind of miss that fucker.
Oh, and did you say I miss you, fucker? Because I'm sure that was very romantic. I mean,
terms of endearment, we're all about. So I was like, oh, we were like at the aquarium and like doing all these things. But the problem is that I overscheduled ourselves this weekend, so I didn't get a break. So I woke up today really tired, and now I'm in the third stage of emotion.
Now you're angry,
mad. Yes,
anger. Like, yeah.
Like help out with all this stuff. Yeah, I'm going to remain in this stage until Wednesday night.
See, I do those three stages within a 2 hour period when my husband goes downstairs. It's like the first second I'm like, oh, he's not. Cause I'm your husband probably. Like I'm not a typical woman. Like I'm a little messy. I'm very creative. Not that women can't be creative, but like my husband does all the cleaning. He's so much better with the kids. Like I'm better with the kids when it comes to like, let's talk about the meaning of life and let's like paint with our feet. So like, they're great in that like aspect, but like, he's like very, he looked at me the other day. He's like, do you want to change your diaper? Because I think it's been on there for about 2 hours. And I was like, it's fine. There's no poop in there. It's fine. So I think we're a little different, but I have that. Like, I'm like, he's not on me. He's not telling me to clean up. But just because I'm like a mess. And then by the time he gets back, and then I do miss him and I'm texting him. And then by the time he gets back, I'm just such a bitch about it.
Angry. It's like, so angry. Where were you? Why were you not helping out?
And this is such a good segue to the guests that we have on, because this is the first time we've actually had like a dad duo on the show. And when I watch, like, they're really big on TikTok and Instagram. They have a podcast too, The Dumb Dads. I want to ask why they're the dumb dads, because I think dads are fucking awesome. And we've had experts that have been men, but we talk a lot about mom stuff. And now I'm like, you know what? We need to cross over, Roxy, to the other side and learn from a male's perspective what they think about us and what, I mean, maybe what we can do better, maybe what they can do better, maybe how we can all communicate better and have like an easier way to parent. I don't know. I don't fucking know what's going to happen in the show, but I'm really excited to go there.
I am so excited for these guys, the dumb dads. Evan and Kevin are... Woo!
Hello. How's it
going? Good. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. Thank you. I'm still reeling from that 2 hours you're supposed to change the diaper. I just like.
Wait, you would change the diaper or you'd be like, oh, I had to change? Like, which one are you? Are you me or my husband?
I'm you.
Okay. Oh, I'm you. Okay. Are you both me?
No, I'm your husband.
Oh, great. We're the couple.
I just feel like until it's really smelling, you're just wasting. I'm just trying to save the environment. Green. I know. I'm being super green. You know,
what do you think? They sell these in bulk?
Until you're not sure what's in there, you don't have to change it.
I'm going to ask all three of you. Where's the worst diaper explosion you've ever had?
Like on your body? Like
the experience where something happened with a really poopy diaper. Where were you and what was the story? Because I know we all have a really bad diaper explosion story.
I know what mine is. I was at, it was like one of the first times I had like taken her out, like for a dinner, like my husband and I were out and we were at Ciccone's and I was fully dressed up, like head to toe, heels, like cute purse, like the whole bit. I was like, feeling myself, you know, I'm like,
yeah, with a newborn baby.
Yes. With a newborn baby. I'm like the big, you know, breastfeeding boobs. I'm like the whole thing.
Love it.
But then all of a sudden I felt this like warmth, like, because I was like holding her and we were waiting in like to get to the table, like with the host.
Yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh, what's this? And I looked down. Oh, no. It was all over dad's.
No.
It was just, he was just like, what? Like, what am I supposed to, I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like sweating, like freaking out. Yeah. I had to run to the back of the car.
I'm like sweating hearing this.
I'm smelling something as you're talking. I'm like, I feel like I smell that.
It's like when somebody describes a good food and you're like, oh, I got this. Yeah.
But yeah.
I'm right there.
Oh,
with you.
Oh yeah. It's
I'm
up
right
your nostrils. You. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awful. And I'm just running to the back of the car, open the hatch, you know, like the back of the car, trying to just clean her up like as best as I could just to like get it off first. Mm. Then I had to go into the bathroom. I was so embarrassed. Like,
that's a tough diaper story.
And then, you know, needless to say, look, we didn't keep the reservation. We just, I was like, I can't. How about you guys?
We need to switch to a to-go order.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what mine is because mine was, I define this as like one of those moments that was, I felt was like the introduction to parenting. Mm-hmm. Different than looking at your child for the first time, different than that. I have two kids. I have a 6-year-old and a 2.5-year-old. When my son, when my firstborn, my son was, I don't even know, like a couple months old. We went on a little road trip to Northern California to see some family and he's in the back. And we were at that point, he was young enough to where we were still riding in the back with him. Mm-hmm. And, but it was really hot out. It was summertime. It was, you know, we were really hungry. We thought, let's stop for a burger. And so we stopped for a burger and we're in the drive-through line and we're in the line far enough to where there's cars in front of us and cars behind us. So we're not going anywhere. And he starts making really weird noises. And I was like, he looks like he's going to throw up. I don't know why he's going to throw up, but he looks like he's going to throw
up. What were the noises? Can I hear them?
You know, like, noises a baby doesn't make more. It was like, what's coming out of your body? Where's it coming from? And so I instinctively, I don't know if it's a good instinct or bad instinct, stick my hands underneath his mouth and he starts throwing up in my hands.
God. Bad instinct. Oh my God.
Yeah. Hindsight, bad instinct.
I feel like I've done that with my husband before.
Like, I'll just catch it. So, you know, he overfills my hands. And so now there's pointless. And so now I just throw up all over him, all over my hands.
Oh God.
And then I hear him audibly shit his pants. To a point where it was like that was as much came out the back end. It just came out in the front end. It was a blend. And so we're sitting in the drive-through line, can't go anywhere. He's strapped into his car seat. You know, the worst part is we still have to wait for food, which is like the last.
And like, who wants to eat after that?
Yeah. So we, you know, eventually get there, we pull our bag and we go around in the parking lot and we like take him out, pour out the car seat throw away all of his clothes. I mean, it was like the worst pit stop ever. And that was when I really felt like, as if I was standing outside of myself going, this is what it is.
Yeah, I'm a real dad. It doesn't get better than this.
People are seeing that too as they're driving to the drive-thru and go, we got to start eating better.
Yeah, they were like, oh, that reminds me last time I got food poisoning. I was in Paris. You tell me, you go first. You go next. Okay.
My daughter was only a couple weeks old and it was the 2016 presidential primary. And my wife and I had gone back and forth and discussing who we were going to vote for.
Who are you going to vote for? Just kidding. Imagine I was like, let's get really political right now.
I don't mind.
Who the fuck were you going to vote for? Imagine I was getting like super angry.
Well, that was the thing. So we're in California. So
it's like, end.
Blue state. And thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
So we were discussing because we were like, we have the mindset. I know a lot of people vote differently, like in couples and stuff. But we were just kind of like, listen, if we're going to go, let's not just waste the vote. Let's make sure we're on the same page here. So we were back.
Or I'm going to leave you.
Or I'm going to leave you. So we were back and forth on like Hillary or Bernie. And it was what we like landed on one. And we both were like, let's vote for, you know, we're going to vote for Bernie, but no matter who wins, we'll vote for, you know, we'll support the other person. We get there. My wife goes in first because it's a newborn, so you shouldn't bring them into like a voting booth.
Not the most clean, right?
And my daughter then blows out. I just hear just a butt explosion in the back while I'm waiting. Oh, okay. So I'm going to clean her. It's my first like really bad car seat blowout. Then I'm shook. And I'm like cleaning all this up. And my wife comes back and she's like, what happened? And I'm like pale. And I was like, I just had an ordeal. And then I went and voted for the wrong person.
Covered it. So, did you really?
Yeah. So we voted, we wasted the whole drive. Like we canceled each other's votes out. And it was,
you voted for the wrong person because you were so shook by how much shit that you had on it yourself.
Yeah, correct? I wasn't sure if it wasn't still on me somewhere. I didn't know what was happening.
Perhaps it was foreshadowing too for what was to come.
Yep. It definitely was.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah. I mean, I've had so many shit stories, I don't even know where to start. But I have a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. But my 7-year-old, when you first have a kid, I was determined to not lose my sense of self. So we used to travel everywhere. Now I have 2 kids. I'm like, I would never get on a plane for 16 hours. I took her to like the Seychelles. That's a 19-hour flight. Like, I would never. And now I know how horrible, like, that's just hell. It's hell for everyone. Everyone on the plane, me, her, it was horrible. So my daughter's been like to 19 countries. She's like traveled the world. My second has been to none because I learned the hard way. And yes, there's COVID, but like I'd still road trips all the way. But we were in France when she was 1.5 years old and we were in a very fancy French restaurant and we got her to like calm down, giving her the iPhone. Oh, I think there was iPhones. I was like, was there iPhone 7 years ago? Yes, it was. Giving her the iPhone. She was in the, you know, this very fancy place in France. And she shat into her hair. Like it just went up. It just and that's what I don't understand about poop. Like my poop goes down. Like I don't understand how it goes up. Maybe it's because there's so much of it and there's like huge force behind it. I don't know, but it goes up and into her hair and she's covered in it. And they said to us, excuse me, you need to je prends un peu peu, je leave. So we were kicked out of the restaurant halfway through our meal. They made us pay for the meal, which is so crazy too. I was like, I just spent $100 like for a salad. They made us pay for the meal and they kicked us out of the restaurant because she had, understandably, who's going to finish their meal smelling that? But I just thought
true.
Which would not take their kid to an escargot restaurant in France. They were like stupid Americans. Yeah. So that was my experience, but I don't change as many diapers as my husband. So, you know, he deals with a lot more poop than I do.
He deals with a lot more shit, huh?
No pun intended. Literally. He does a lot more of the like, menial, the disgusting jobs. That's what it is that way.
How about you guys? Do you guys do like most of the like lion's share of the diaper changing and cleaning and that kind of stuff?
Yes. Except before pandemic, my wife was working in an office and I was the stay at home dad. Mm-hmm. Now she's home and it's a little bit easier, but actually it's easier, but my son's 2 now, so he's like grown up, so it's been a handful, so I'm gonna cry when she goes back to work. But I do most of those jobs. Yes. Stay-at-home dad.
We're both stay-at-home dads, so we've done the lion's share of hair shit cleanup, if you will.
I love that you guys do the nail painting, the hair, like
yep,
all of it.
So when you see on TikTok, which you guys are big on TikTok, when you see, you know, there's like a whole side of TikTok that's like the mom TikToks, right? And it's all about like, you know, kind of putting down the dads. And there's so many videos about like, oh God, I wish my husband or my baby daddy or whatever would like clean up more or treat me better or all these things. Do you think there's a massive misconception about like a dad's role in society today? Or do you think it's changing?
I think it's changing. I think there's truth to it because, I mean, like think of any family television show that you can think of. Dad's an idiot and the mom is a wreck because she's doing everything by herself. And I feel like that's based on some truths of mm-hmm. men mostly worked all the time and women stayed home and went insane. And now it's different and more dads are going, staying home and more dads are more involved, but like society hasn't caught up with that, I feel mm-hmm. like. So there is still that stigma. There is still a stigma with a lot of men, and a lot of men still don't do things. They still don't know how to do things, but mm-hmm. yeah, you get treated like an idiot all of the time. I remember when my daughter was little, I was pulling her in like the little red wagon radio flyer, and I was pulling her and I heard a woman yell from across the street, "You got to talk to her, Dad. You should be talking to her. It's your daughter." And I was just like, and I didn't talk to my daughter for a year after that because
you're like, "I'm going to show that woman. Yeah. You will never learn how to talk."
But yeah,
she's like four. She's like, "Can I please speak?" It's good, Worksy.
No, I was just going to say, I just think it's so interesting because we talk a lot on this show about mom shaming, you know, like about moms getting shamed by other moms and like mm-hmm. getting judged and all that. It mm-hmm. almost sounds like you got judged by another mom. So like mm-hmm. as dads, do you feel that? Do you get judged by like other dads, other moms? Like, how do you guys feel about that?
I mean, I just told him a story the other day. We were talking about it on our podcast. I had to take my son to the orthodontist, his first ever orthodontist appointment. And they took a bunch of pictures of his mouth and kind of explained what the plan was going to be for the next year. We won't see him for a while, but when you come back, we're going to do this and that. And they gave me the rundown. And then immediately after she gave me the rundown, she said, "And you know, if you want to have your wife call us, we can explain that to her." Or, and I'm just sitting there like, okay. You're just going to do it right in front of me. There's just like kind of a lot of that. And I don't know. That's kind of also the reason why we called ourselves Dumb Dad Podcast or the Dumb Dads was the
lean into it.
We just lean into it. It was like the joke that.
Yes. And yeah.
A dad, you know, just cannot help himself, but barely survive a day mm-hmm. where he had to spend 2 hours with his children. You know, it's, mm-hmm. and it's the stereotypical, like Kevin said, sitcom dad, or I mean, you look at dads in commercials too. I mean, it's all over the place. It's just what we're led to believe is acceptable as a dad or to be a dad. Mm-hmm. And so we're sort of doing it in spite of that, I guess.
And the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? Where it's like moms aren't perfect and dads aren't totally inept. It's somewhere in the middle where, and I think that's why people have enjoyed us on like TikTok and our podcast, because I feel like they've been like moms and dads are both like, "Yes, I do that too. I'm mm-hmm. terrible at that. I don't know how to do that," because you don't know what we're doing.
And I feel like the narrative though is still like, if a father stays at home and isn't working, right, then mm-hmm. there's like this narrative that, you know, there's something wrong with the dynamic or the guy. Like, I've been working since I was 15 years old. We talk about this on our show a lot. And I like to make money. And it's the same when women say they like to make money. Mm-hmm. Women can't say that. Women are not allowed to like to work. And men aren't allowed to not decide to work and do something else. And I think that we need to talk more about that, you know, because there are two people trying to make it work, trying to take care of their families, trying to earn an income. And that can look different in lots of different households. It's like whatever works for you. But I still think we're in this place in the world where we just love to judge what we don't understand because it makes us in some way feel better.
Yeah, it justifies like your view, even if like deep down you're like, "I don't think this is totally right." But if I like judge you for your thing, it validates me a little bit more. When I first became a stay-at-home parent, it was right away. And it was actually that I was bartending nights, and I was bartending really late, like 9 to 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And my wife was working an office job. And that's when we figured out like, oh, we would be able to do this and be fortunate enough to not have to spend money on like a nanny or daycare. And I'd meet those guys at the bar they would like finish the work and then they'd come to the bar, which is fine. And, mm-hmm. but then they would be like, "Oh, my wife's calling me wondering where I am." And it was just like, "You're here, go home.
Go see your kid."
Yeah.
And they'd just be like, "You stay home with your kid like during the day?" And I was like, "Yeah, is what's happening."
It's a hard job. It's a really hard job that I don't think people get anywhere close to the credit. Like, I love my kids, but I would rather work and then come home to my kids, then be at home with my kids, and then go work for an hour. Like, that's how I'm designed, and that's what makes me a better mom. That's why COVID has been hard for me, because I'm like, feel like I'm trapped mm-hmm. without anywhere to go. And my work makes me feel a certain way about myself. And then I can be the mom that comes home and cooks and puts them down and loves them. And, you know, but that's just the way I'm made up, you know, and that's why everyone is so different. I think, Roxy, you're the same as me.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm definitely a better mom when I have that time away for my, you know, for myself and for my own identity, because that's mm-hmm. an important part of who I am, in what I do and everything. So for me, I think it makes me a better mom to be able to like step away and then come back feeling recharged and refreshed, mm-hmm. even though it's exhausting and tiring, you know, doing that too. But it just makes me feel more whole, like to have right. all of that, you know?
Do you both miss, what do you guys do? Are you in entertainment?
Yes, we are both actors. Actually.
But if you yes. had a job and you were like filming a movie, you would more than likely want to be filming a movie and then come home to your kid.
Yes, for sure. And I love how you guys both describe that of it makes you a better mom is whatever makes you. It's not you like your parenting is just for some people it is. And if that is your identity, that is your identity. If it's like, mm-hmm. I just want to be a mom. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's also nothing wrong with you being like, oh, I want that's. I had this passion before kids and this passion didn't go away mm-hmm. when I had kids. So I just love how you phrase that, it is what makes you a better person is still doing what you love, mm-hmm. finding time for it, finding time for yourself, mm-hmm. Because you do need to get away. And it is hard sometimes being a stay-at-home parent. I feel like COVID has been hard for a lot of people for obviously a myriad of reasons, but mm-hmm. most of all, like on the weekends, what's the difference for a stay-at-home parent?
It's a Groundhog Day almost, right?
It's Groundhog Day. It's yeah. like starts over again. And
we've discovered recently that time has become irrelevant. And
Wait, I have to do this. I have to text you what I texted my husband tonight. Okay. Do not read this until 7:30 because I'm venting. That's the heading.
That's already not good.
This is already what it said. Cause I knew he had to like write. He's writing a screenplay. So I was like, do not read this until 7:30 because it's a vent. That's the heading. Being inside all day with kids is a fucking nightmare. Nothing to do with you. Again, I'm not asking for you to fix it, just for me to vent. Okay, here goes. It's like picking a scab. It's irritating and it sucks, and we're not designed to be cooped up like this. The reason everything is a mess is because they have nothing to do. They want to play. They want to move. They want to get out. Anyway, I'm over it. I need to change. I need to get up early. But the only reason I don't get up early is because the only time I have for me is at nighttime. So I'm too tired to get up in the morning. Anyway, I'll make the kids the proper breakfast this morning. Just venting again, not for you to fix.
What was the response?
No her? Response, because I told him not to fix it.
No, 7:30.
If I didn't say don't fix no, it, it would be like
he didn't take a sneak fault. He didn't take a already. He's really gonna wait till 7:30.
I think he waited. I think he did because he knew that he would be anxious if he did. But like that's
he didn't wait
till
7:30 to read it. But if he's smart, he'll wait to respond until about 7:43.
Yeah. Right.
But that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling like these kids need to move. They need to get out. They need to be active. And it's just like, you feel like you're a failure when everyone's just going crazy inside because you feel like you should do something about it, but you just need to accept. I don't know. Maybe we just need to accept where we are
in that's what
the world right now.
We have to accept where we are because we're in the middle of this fucking pandemic. I mean, it's getting better, but you know, it's like we've all been trapped for like a year and it's like, you know, right. And we talk about a lot of times on this podcast too, is just giving ourselves grace to like be wherever we are, whatever that looks like at the moment, you know, and just kind of like breathe through it and deal. I will say therapy helps, you know, like therapy is a good thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tammin, for that. It was like, girl, it's time. It's time. And
you think I'm a mess now, Roxy? Imagine me without therapy.
I don't want to. What do you guys think? Do you guys do therapy?
I have done it before. I'm a very anxious person. So I have, I've worked with a therapist before on many occasions just to learn how to, and this is actually before kids, which is probably more beneficial in hindsight now than I even realize it. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think mental health is such an, people don't talk about it enough, even though it's been a big thing to talk about the last couple of years, especially this year, this past year, I mean, we used to go because we're comedy partners. We've worked together for a long time. And so when we both first had kids, we would do activities together because we're both actors. We're both essentially stay-at-home dads until, let's say one of us got an audition, we could get each other's back, watch each other's kid, you know, the whole thing. But we used to go to the zoo with our kids during the day because we had the day free. We could go to the park. We could go to the zoo. We could do whatever. And then that's just been pretty much turned off for a year. Mm-hmm. And so after a while, we had chosen to pod together so that we could, our families mm-hmm. could spend and our children could spend time together. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, especially this year has been really, really tasking on everybody. And, you know, parents especially, it's been interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think therapy needs to be normalized for so many reasons in this country. And a big one is like, I went into therapy when I was much younger and then haven't since. And then this past year has been, just brings up a lot of stuff. That's not great. And so I looked into getting therapy and I had really good health insurance and everyone that I could reach or contact, none of them took my health insurance I couldn't afford them. So no,
there's an app, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Actually, everyone who wants to listen, this is the next sponsored post. No, it's not. There's an app. I call it the CVS app. I don't even know why I call it that, but it's because it's like an inexpensive, you know, you don't get the best red wine, but you might get the CVS version of wine, but it's like $200 a month.
That was the trick.
Four sessions.
It does.
Yeah. It's a trade. Like you're not fully fixed, but you're like a little bit better.
it's not therapy. It's therapy product.
Yes. Yeah. So I just talk the whole time. Nothing really gets fixed, but it's four sessions for like $200. So, which is great, you know, but therapy does, it needs to be accessible. And
yeah,
I've been going to therapy for fucking 10 years, man. Like, I don't even know. My fights look like this. So I can tell. Actually, you know what? You tell me how you're feeling, because I am sensing that you're frustrated and it's coming out as anger, because anger is not a primary emotion. So your anger is coming from your fear. So can you tell me what you're afraid of? This is what our fights consist of.
He's like, where did you get a notebook?
He's like, I just need you to change the diaper. Yeah. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. So obviously you're frustrated, which means you feel like you're, you know, you're not being heard. Oh my God, it's so annoying.
It's been 2 hours in that diaper. That's all.
It's literally all it is.
Yeah.
It is fear that it's going to explode.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Amazing, I have to say too, because I first started watching you guys on TikTok. For people that do not watch, you guys have got to watch them on TikTok because they're so funny. The videos are so funny, and you're welcome. And I love the creepy kid series because we all know what that is, right? Yeah. So what is like the creepiest thing that your kids have ever done?
I made it. It was in the creepy kid TikTok I did was 100% real. As I came into the bath and my daughter had an old water bottle that we just let them use to play with, half filled with water, and a doll naked upside down, just head dunked in there.
Like head first. In the
head first. It was just like, why?
My daughter always comes up to me and she's like, I want to cut the hair off my dolls. And I'm like,
you're like,
okay. Okay. And she's like, and then cut their legs off. And I'm like, okay. What about you, Rux?
Oh, okay. So this is funny. We were just at dinner like the other night, and we were talking about, there was like another family there. They have a little one the same age. And we were playing that game, would you rather, like, you know, this or that. And I guess like potty, because they're 6 years old. So potty like stuff is really funny to them right now. So they were like, would you rather like eat your poop or eat your pee? Or like, you know, like that thing. My daughter pipes up and she goes, would you rather die because your head got sliced off or somebody stabbed you? I was like, oh my God.
I'm going to go head. Yeah. Definitely head.
Yeah. Right. I would like the head slicing much quicker.
Yeah, my daughter's been doing this thing where she comes in, she goes, oh my God, mom, I think my brain's playing tricks on me because like, I think I want to shoot you. And I was like, she says, I'm really sad that I'm thinking about that because I really love you. And I was like, well, you're not going to shoot me then. She's like, but what if I do? And I'm like, well, you have to find a gun. She's like, well, what if I find a gun? I'm like, you're seven. It's going to be, maybe in Texas you can at seven. But I was like, you know, you're not going to find a gun. She's like, well, what if someone drops one on the floor and I pick it up and then shoot you, I'd be so upset. And I was like, oh God. And then she goes, but at least you go, when you go to heaven, everything tastes good. So don't worry. I was like, oh my gosh. It's like, they get so much, they get more existential earlier than I ever thought about that sort of stuff.
That's amazing.
Don't worry, Mom. When I bring the heat, right. Food's going to taste great in heaven. So you got nothing to worry about.
She's definitely thought it through, Tam, and she has it all planned out.
Don't bring the kid to a police station. They'll be like, oh God, there's guns everywhere.
Oh, and man. I'm worried about everyone shooting each other. So Zads, I want to ask you what, because I want to do a little bit of like, what can each sex do better? Okay. Mm. So like, what do you think women or moms or how do you think women could communicate better to guys?
Ooh.
That's a great question. I would love Evan to answer it.
Oh yes, I was ready for that question.
How can we be better without communication?
Just men to women, women to men in general?
Women to men in general.
Because there's a lot of confusion, it seems like, too.
Very confused.
My husband's like, wait, I don't know, like, are you mad? Like, he doesn't quite understand all the time.
I think a lot of it, I mean, it could just be personality things. I don't know. That's difficult to, speak for too many people, but in my situation, my wife and I are different in the way that if something is either frustrating us or whatever it is, I want to just, let's talk about it right now. Like, I don't want to wait to talk about this, you know, like, and then have a tough conversation 5 hours from now or whatever. Like, I want to just talk about it right now while I feel like I can talk about it. Because otherwise I kind of lose interest in it, but in the way that I'll forget what I wanted to say, or I'll forget because I have no problem letting things go because my wife is my wife. She's my best friend. We go through life together, everything. So if it's something's going to really bother me that much, I'll say it, but otherwise I'll know she's probably just frustrated. It's not that big of a deal, but where she needs to like think about it for a little bit and wants to come back when she's more calm or can explain herself better or something. And so I think it's just understanding who you're talking to and their process they need to go through. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the safest way I could say anything bad about my wife on a podcast.
Well, you haven't listened to Al's because we go there. Poor Roxy's husband's like, I don't want to come back. Yeah. After he's heard this podcast.
He's like, please stop talking about me. Okay.
It's interesting. Cause I feel like women, my husband said to me, like, he's like, well, you manipulate. And it's interesting because I don't think I actually manipulate. I think it's something that women do. I see it in my daughters. They're 2 and 7. Mm. It's something that's innately in women that they try to get what they want. So they try different tactics and how to get it. And I feel like a lot of women, I wouldn't say the whole, I'm not going to generalize all women, but I would say a lot, every one of my friends, every woman I know, that when they want something, they'll try different tactics instead of just saying, like, if they wanted an apology, even, let's say, they wouldn't say, you know what, you really hurt me. I feel vulnerable saying this, but I would like an apology. They kind of get aggressive and they try to get an apology by like maybe saying something else to them that makes them feel bad. Mm. It's like women do these little things and these little tricks. I saw on a TikTok, and it was the first time I thought that no one else had done this. I don't know, Roxy, if you do this, but like you're upset and then you cry like a little harder while you're in bed to like make sure he can like, you guys are crazy. You cry just a little harder. So you're like, and you're in the room and you're crying and you're like, why the fuck isn't he coming in here? So you cry even harder. And I saw that on TikTok and I was like, oh my goodness, because there was millions of people who were like, yeah, I do that. And I thought I was the crazy one, but I realized that it's maybe just what women have been told to do. I don't know. I see it in my kids and they're girls. So I don't know. Roxy, what do you think?
I mean, I think for me, well, you know my deal. I don't like to be that vulnerable, like emotionally. So mine usually comes out more as like anger, you know, it's more like that. So, but I think like the times when I have gotten emotional and like actually cried and like shown my vulnerability, he kind of gets like a little confused because I don't normally go that route. So then he feels really, really bad, you know? But I think, I think definitely, you know, I see it in my daughter too. I see like her, and it might be like a kid's thing too at this age, but I do see like the manipulation wheels turning with her.
Oh,
and
like
seeing how, and she's starting to do the thing where she's pitting us against each other a little bit, you know, like she'll be like, well, mommy said this, but no, daddy said that. And it'll be like a back and forth. But I think there is manipulation there. What do you guys think?
More for women than men.
Well, for sure. I like to think that just women in general are incredible tacticians. I think that they just Well, manipulative is just like, it's very specific to like a certain part of like what you'd have a problem with, where in other scenarios, maybe I'll see my wife fixing a problem that has nothing to really do with her to a degree. And she'll still have all these different angles. Our father-in-law moved in with us and he's a very stubborn man. And I just love watching someone else try to fight with her. Because he just knocks him around with all these different ideas. And I think maybe that goes back to how the world has been for so long with this expectation of men working and women not. So not to say that men at jobs don't have a lot of responsibility and don't have 20, 30, 50 things on their plate at their job. They do. But for most people, that was just the job, do the job, and then go home. In the meantime, the wife's worrying about everything else. And I think that's just been an expectation of women for so long that you need to know how to do every little possible thing and think of every doomsday scenario of how this is going to go wrong. You need to be able to, and I think that's just ingrained in women, whether they have kids or not, that they can just, I'm just blown away with how fast my wife could destroy any argument I have, which is why I have won every single fight I've had with her in the car alone. Because I do it. Because I do like a trial run and she's like really bad at fighting me in my head. and then I go home and I apologize.
Maybe it's also, you say like to it might also be to get what they want too, because again, in society, it's like, it's very hard for women to get what they want. So they do have to figure out different angles because it's not like, it's not the easiest thing to get, you know, the best job or be the top of your game. Like so many positions, like gatekeepers are not women, you know, even in the film business, I think it's like, I don't know. I don't want to say this, but like something like 10% of women, even less than that are like directors or like writers. It's like, there's not a lot of women in gatekeeper positions. So it's like to get there, you kind of, and to let more women in, you kind of have to figure out what you want and you have to figure out different tactics and how to get it. And you're right. Like maybe it's just, we've just learned it throughout the years.
Yeah, it's evolved, you know?
For sure.
Yeah, but even when you do get to those positions, it's hard because you don't get paid the same as a woman, you know? So even when you do reach those, like that, you are at the top of the game, you're still fighting, you know, to get to make equal pay and things.
And it's always such slow progress too, because like somebody will make a big announcement that this woman is directing a movie and everybody's like, that's awesome, that's great. And then the next 30 movies will be men because everybody's still riding the high of that one time.
They're like back in 2003.
It's like as if, well, we let one do it once and so now we're going to get back to what, it is like incremental change.
But I do think, I do think that's a big part of why women are tacticians.
You guys are both actors, correct? How is that felt like in, you know, I'm an actor as well. How does that feel in the pandemic? Are you going nuts? Do you feel depressed that there's no work, or do you feel like everything will change when the pandemic's over? How's it been being an artist in the pandemic?
For me, it was definitely really depressing for a long time. I wasn't going in for anything. And then twice I went in for something, I was like, this isn't safe.
People are breathing on me.
And it wasn't great, but it was depressing. And honestly, that was actually how I got into TikTok, because I've been writing and doing comedy for a long time and 15 years or something. My wife told me about TikTok, I had the same stigma everybody else did, which is like, that's it's a kid app. And then I went on it and I was like, oh, and it was my wife's idea of like, you should bring you should bring the dumb dads onto this. And mm-hmm. then we started doing it, and it was just feels so good to do something. But I'm nervous for when things go back. I don't know if because there's a lot of businesses not acting that are just like, oh, this is easier. Mm-hmm. You're working from home from now on. Mm-hmm. And just to be doing this stuff. Me personally, I thrive better as a comedian and just an actor in general with an audience. So
of course,
if I'm in a room with somebody, I will always do better than here's some sides and a camera and get this back to me tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. So mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the TikTok, but
the self-tapes for me has been amazing just because I used to get such bad panic attacks before an audition. And yet, you know, give me the job. Like I've had a few offers in my career and it's great, you know, mm-hmm. cause like I'm on set and I'm fine, but I think I want it so badly that the anticipation just works me up. And I know that I don't do my best in the room. So when it's my poor husband taping me, sometimes we do like 50 takes. Oh my God, poor guy. But at least, and that's maybe a control thing, but at least you're giving something that you are proud of. So that's actually hope that self-tapes never go away, but I hope I hope being back on set, obviously gets back. But
I feel like it's a mixed bag. I do appreciate the self-tape in the way that it's, I don't have to drive into Hollywood or wherever I need to go like 4 or 5 times a week to do an initial audition. I would love for it to maybe at least be the first couple rounds is a self-tape. Or something. And then when it gets really into the nuts mm-hmm. and bolts and who they're really considering, then you can be brought in mm-hmm. and, you know, then they can really see it in person. I think that probably helps in a lot of ways for the industry, but yeah, I don't know. The same for me. That was depressing in a way because I'm such a creative person. I'm an artist in many ways. I like to make things, you know, and so for everything to be turned off was like a real moment, you know? And mm-hmm. so, and on top of that, we're stay-at-home dads because sort of our scenario worked out so well. We're actors. And so mm-hmm. really I need to go to work for a couple times a week if I have an audition or something, but otherwise I'm free, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for that to be turned off, certainly felt the pressure, like, well, how can I really be contributing to this family financially if I can't even have an opportunity mm-hmm. to do that? And I think, yeah, probably just wanting to get our experiences out there. TikTok has been like a cool way for us to mm-hmm. share our experiences and make light of it, make, mm-hmm. you know, turn crazy situations we've been in as parents into comedy for other parents to watch, enjoy. Yeah. You know, we just put our comedy through a parenting filter mm-hmm. and then put it out there.
Do you think your audience, is it mostly like moms or is it mostly dads or is it like pretty equally mixed?
It's 80% women and
yeah, I followed you.
20% men.
Yeah.
We checked out the analytics. We check out the analytics pretty regularly, and it's 80% women,
which was cool. We did not I don't know what we expected. I think we just wanted to put something else out there for people to try to find, you know. And mm-hmm. so once it started doing well, we looked and thought, well, that's, I guess I didn't expect it to be so many moms following us, and how many mm-hmm. times in the comment sections, they're like, I feel so seen. Thank you for posting this, or thank you for mm-hmm. what you guys are doing. And that we did not expect that. We're just trying to make people laugh, you know, and needed another creative outlet to stay busy and keep our mm-hmm. minds working. And so the pouring in of appreciation from parents, but especially from moms. And I think mm-hmm. a lot of stay-at-home moms as well that mm-hmm. feel seen or just feel, I'm maybe not spoken for, but, you know, just recognize for the things that we go through as parents mm-hmm. that it's difficult to explain to people, you know.
And raising kids is like a universal experience too, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like when you're, I think that the TikToks and the Instagram accounts do really well. When you take away all the bullshit ones, which is the fake stuff about everything looking so perfect, is being relatable because again, when you feel like you're being seen and heard, then you don't feel alone. And that's the big thing in life, not even just in COVID. So COVID, yes, especially, but in life, we all feel lonely. Like even mm-hmm. I think that, you know, with technology, we feel like it's brought us together and it has in so many ways. But I also believe that it's, you know, taken us away from our families. You know, sometimes I'm on my phone just flicking and I'm like, why aren't I here with my child? So it's like bringing people together when they're feeling their loneliest. And I think that when you do that through comedy, especially when you make someone laugh, that's such an incredible way to make them feel like they're not alone too. Yeah. Comedy is, for me, is, you know, is when I relate to people the most.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys have this with your podcast. But we get messages, personal, like private messages and on like Instagram and stuff from people that open up to us about like people we've never met, people we've never talked to, about like things they're going through and like how they're grateful for the me making fun of how creepy my daughter is. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay. A lot of surprises happen during these videos, and we're grateful that we want to make people laugh. We didn't want to make them feel seen and happy for that reason is not feel alone, like you said. So the words I was looking for is really gratifying. And I'm sure you get the same thing doing this podcast as well.
Yeah, it's about creating community, like you're saying. And I think women especially resonate with that, you know, and moms, because it's really kind of, it can be very lonely, you know, when you're a parent and when you're a mom and when you're a dad too, you know what I mean? And you're in this sort of pandemic. And I think like what you guys are doing, it just like, it brings so many people together, and it's so nice. Yeah. Like you're saying, it's so nice to laugh, but it's also really funny that you guys do it through like a dad's eyes, because we do see a lot of the mom stuff, you know, on TikTok. And I just think it's really creative, like to have it through like a stay at home dad's perspective.
Do you ever worry about the views? See, that's my biggest problem. My whole life has been like, you know, started acting at 15. It's always about doing well, success, right? And you're trained at 15 to be like, it's all about the views. Not that there was social media back then, but it's like your show has to do well, and whatever movie you have to do has to do well, because then you get another job. And when you've been doing it for so long, you think like, I don't want to lie and say that the views don't matter to me. They do. And then it almost takes away, when the views matter, it almost takes away the beauty of any of it, you know, because it's like, you're almost creating videos for the audience instead of creating videos that you are connected to and why you want to do it. So do you care about the views?
I do. I'm probably too obsessed with the views.
And it ruins it. It ruins it.
It does ruin it a little bit. I cannot figure out TikTok for the life of me. I know it jumps. Seems like we kind of have, but there's this AI algorithm that's in a mess and it's all over the place. But one thing that I've figured out and kind of inspires me to be obsessed with the views is the fact that, for people who don't know, TikTok, I'll be real quick. There's two things. There's a page where you can watch everybody who you follow. And there's a page of like, based on what you follow, I think you'd like this. And that's the algorithm. When you put a new video out, it doesn't always go to the people that follow you. It goes out to new people. So I try to treat every video like, this is an opportunity to find someone else, to share my jokes and whatever with another person. And I think that's why it's probably unhealthy. It is unhealthy.
The algorithm is so screwed up. Don't you think it's so screwed up? Like people who don't know algorithms, right? But like, I had a video on TikTok that did like 20,000 and then on Reels did 16 million. Explain that to me. Because I think to myself,
we cannot.
then I think to myself, then how is these people liking it? Like, that makes no, like the platforms also are very different. So what works for one doesn't work for another. And you would think,
wild. We're certainly finding that as well, where we feel like we're growing really quickly on TikTok and putting these videos out there. I will also interject really just and say that we also speak about it a lot, like not trying to focus on the views so much, because there's also videos where you have an idea and you think like, oh man, this is going to be difficult for me to pull off. It's probably going to take me a day or maybe more than a day to film, because I have to make it really tight transitions and make it really, really dialed in as to what the video I'm trying to make. You know, that video won't do quote unquote well. And then a video, it could, and you think it will, but then you do a video.
Never.
I have a quick idea and I go shoot it. And it
goes viral.
5 minutes and it goes kind of nuts. You know, it's a million views or 600,000 views or whatever. And you think like, why? What's the difference? I have no idea. And so we speak about, just make sure you think it's funny. Like I honestly just think, I hope Kevin thinks this. I hope Kevin laughs. If I can make Kevin laugh, then we're good, because I know that, you know,
Yeah.
We're buddies. We talk a lot about comedy. We've been doing comedy for so long. If he thinks this is funny and I think it's funny, then it's fine because, but it's hard not to when we're trying to also build something that we want it to grow. And if a video or two or three in a row or whatever doesn't do well, you think like, man, what are we missing here? You know, when it could just be, I don't know what, it could be something unexplainable that we can't control.
Yeah.
It's also financial that people don't understand too. It's like at some point you build yourself to a brand where you're actually being able to create an income so that, if you're not going on set every day, you can create an income from home and still have your kids and your wife can still work. So it's like, there's a lot of pressure that's tied into it. So, if people sometimes say, well, if it stresses you out so much, then just leave it. And it's like, but you can't just leave it because ultimately you want an income at some point as well, So it's like how you survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and the stress is annoying, but also sometimes like inspiring. Like I want to get this done. My wife, like I said, like coming on TikTok was her idea. Mm. And
so it's her fault is what you're saying.
Every time I have bad news, blame her. Me met her, I said, you did this to me. You've ruined me. But no, it is that. And it is really important. And my wife does like, make sure that she's like, okay, go ahead, do your thing. Mm. And like, it seems silly to be like, okay, I gotta make a TikTok.
I know. But Tuesday we make owls, by the way. It's so weird.
So funny.
Oh, yeah.
So do you think because you guys have done so well on TikTok, has that helped like the whole brand? Like, have you been able to monetize so much more? And like, have you gotten more like business opportunity, particularly out of that like sort of TikTok, like the good things that have happened to you on TikTok?
Well, we've actually done all this in 4 months.
Oh wow.
So, it is happening now, is I guess our point. But it was like we were doing the podcast for about 2 years right before my son was born. Mm-hmm. And that was fun. And then we were doing the Instagram and stuff like that. And we went on TikTok, and right away it was like it hit because like Instagram I struggle with memes and all that stuff. And I didn't really, and Twitter is a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to like, I like writing and performing. I did sketch, like I said, I've done sketch comedy forever. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, okay. So doing that, it has been and is inspiring to be like, oh, okay. So I was auditioning pretty regularly before all this happened and now it's stopped. And to be able to find a creative outlet that I'm doing writing, performing, it just feels good. And it does. I mean, I hope more comes from it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, our podcast is almost at 2 years and we always say like when we talk to people on TikTok or that it's sort of like long form of our video. We go over what we do daily. Do we have any struggles? We always have like we talk about dumb parenting moments. But if I was to pick something that would do well, TikTok has been a pretty healthy thing to do and go well for us, considering we both like doing it. We both like creating things, creating videos, sketches, jokes, and that's what it is. And to have like a medium like that, that has gone well for us has been pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I actually love it. Even during the election, it was just so nice to, get on and there was things to laugh. Like things weren't not everything was being taken too seriously. I feel like I can connect with, but like see through a different lens, other people's lives. Video just connects with me in that way. And I feel like it's not about the filters and the beautiful bodies or whatever. It's just the reality of humans, And I think that's what really connects us. And obviously it's massive now, but I think at some point it's going to be people from all different walks of life, ages, which it is now, but it's going to start to steer towards that because I feel like we need that in our lives to like, take a little look at other people's, lives in a different way. So
does it gets like creativity out there for sure.
Hey, should we do a Never Have I Ever before we go Roxy Soxy?
Yes, we should.
We haven't done that in a while. So let's do it. Never Have I Ever. So you just, we say something and you say never. Or I have, I guess.
Oh God.
Okay. So we only say never. We don't say have. We just say never if we haven't done it.
We don't really know the rules.
Okay. We make
it up every time. We're like, even though we've done it like 150 times now, we don't really know how it goes. So I guess you just say, I have. I don't know. You'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We're real professional over here. Okay. Never have I ever Wait, can we get naughty or are we not allowed to be naughty?
I mean, what's happening?
We're always naughty.
I guess. Okay. Okay. Never have I ever slept with a celebrity.
Ooh.
You don't have to say who. You just have to say I have or never. You don't have to be like, oh my God, I can't say that I slept with Drew Barrymore. Like, we don't have to say a name.
You can always do what it rhymes with.
Never, never.
They're thinking really hard.
Never.
You're like, that time. Like,
I don't know. There's so many. Roxy, have you?
Slept with a celebrity?
Okay. Something.
Is that
with
what
the
you
celebrity.
Mean?
Wow.
What do you mean, something with a celebrity?
Roxy's getting technical.
Yeah. I'm like, what base are we talking? Yeah,
I think Roxy's getting tactical.
Yeah. I'm getting very tactical, okay? I'm an expert tactician.
Okay. Have you? I think you have.
You think I have?
Yeah.
By the way, you're dodging the question, I'm going to go with yeah.
This is my mom.
Yeah. By the way, you're saying his name, miming it.
Have you? Tam and Sursaw?
I can't remember how I've slept with so many people. No, I'm just kidding. I was my husband. I've been with my husband 15 years. Isn't that crazy?
We're talking about pre-husband before.
I know. I only had a short window, Roxy. I met him at 22.
Actually, you know what? I do know one of yours because you told me.
Who was it? Don't say
Should
now.
Can we just step out for a second?
It was somebody. Yeah, I think he's a pretty big celeb now.
Oh yeah, remind me later. those were the years that remind I don't later. Remember.
He sounds memorable.
He really rocked my world.
Yeah. He blew your mind that you don't remember
it. Yeah,
I don't remember. Oh. I wrote them all down once. Did you?
You
wrote them all down. Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Because look, I lost my virginity at 18, and I met my husband at 22, 23. It wasn't like that much time, but again, I did date every Jonathan from Fairfax to
Johnny.
every doorman named Jonathan, I've been there.
You just needed to get in. Jonathan.
Yeah, I just needed to get in the club, and I thought that's what you had to do. So
it was a great club.
So it was a great story. But thank God I met my husband at 22. Goodness, could you imagine what would have happened? Okay, so Roxy's a maybe. I'm an apparently.
Roxy has to check with the other half. Did we?
I know. I'm like, okay, I'll get back to you on that.
Question for you.
Gray masks.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I didn't sleep with him, Roxy. I just, you know.
What?
Anyway. I didn't sleep with him. No, he's a massive star. Yes, for sure. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You didn't give the best reviews, I have to say.
No.
I want to be in the chat room of this podcast.
Who do you think it is? Ooh. Okay, Roxy, your turn.
Okay. Never have I ever, let's see. Never have I ever gotten so drunk at a Hollywood party that I ended up in somebody else, like in a random person's bed the next day.
You're going still down this route.
I might as well take a drive.
Their wives are like,
they're like, you're like never gonna let your wives listen to this podcast.
My husband's like,
confidently never.
Yeah. Never gotten drunk. Also,
what are you talking about? Spirits?
Yeah. Drinking cider.
Roxy right obviously has, because all these questions are like,
that's so specific.
She's like, really? I mean,
it's like you didn't end up at Crescent 644.
You weren't at Garden of Eden in 2003 doing this. Yeah. Where were you?
Exactly. No, I never did that. Although one time, I think I told you this, Roxy, one time I remember I was like at a guy's place and I was looking in his bedroom. He had a clock on the wall and it said like 4:45 a.m. And I thought at that moment, I was like, I need to reassess my choices. Because I was like, I don't even, you know, we'd gone on a few dates, but I was like, it's not what I want to be doing with my life. Like 4:45.
Was his name Jonathan?
Actually, it was.
Fairfax Jonathan.
It actually was.
Initial question: is your name Jonathan? No. Yeah. Okay. Pass. No way.
But see, I had a Jonathan, a Jason, a, like not. Now I sound like I've slept with the entire phone book. No, but I've like kissed a lot of J names.
That's such a
Jake,
funny
Jake, Jason.
I mean, they're in if they're a J.
Jill. Yeah.
John, James.
Jillian. Jessica.
Jingleheimer Schmidt. All right, fine.
That was back then. Okay, my turn. Never have I ever. God, I don't know. Stolen something.
Ooh.
And it can be little, and it can be when you were like 10.
Oh, I have.
I stole something, yeah.
I
stole something from my grandmother.
You're bad. I was like, oh, he's not so bad. I was like, that's a bad person.
Her ashes.
Yeah.
I
stole my grandmother. When I was a kid, my grandmother had one of those cool, like, things you look through, and it's a bunch of little mirrors in there. And so, not a kaleidoscope kind of thing, but like a... I don't know how to describe it. It was just something you look through, and it's like crystal, you know, repetitive.
So you're like, you don't need that.
And yeah. I just thought, I was probably like 10 or something. And it was really nice. It was like a beautiful hand carved, like wooden one. And I just decided that I wanted it. And I like put it in my whatever backpack or something and took it home. And my mom's like, did you take this from her?
That's what she reads.
And I've never felt, I mean, like, man, it's one thing to like steal candy from a store and be like, hey, you can't do that. But like, the way that like when my mom, she didn't, I just remember her like saying, it puts it into perspective in a way that like, that's not yours and that's your grandmother's. I felt instantly so awful. So
yeah,
awful.
No, you should have.
And yeah, definitely did. It was, I mean, that's up there with like how bad I felt for something. Just like not thinking about it in the moment, and then in retrospect, like, whoa, that's kind of not the right thing to do.
Did you really dramatically, really dramatically put it back in her coffin at the wake?
Yeah.
No, I just tossed it in.
Here, Grandma. I'm giving this back to you.
Did you save it for the time you did shrooms? I mean, let's
That would have effed anyone up.
Yeah, no, my mom made me like bring it back and tell her that I did it and everything. It was awful.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
There's in New York, there's in Astoria, Queens, there's a beer garden, the Bohemian Beer Garden, pretty popular place. And they'll give you huge glass beer steins. And people were known to steal them. And I had definitely partaken. And it got to the point where security searched you on the way out.
Oh God.
And that inspired me.
Oh.
To steal them more. because I was convinced I could do it. And I stole at least 4 of them and never got caught.
What did you hide? You just hid them like in your clothes or whatever?
I had tucked one down by my ankle because they weren't like patting you down completely. Uh-huh. And then
they didn't notice you had broken your ankle.
And then nope. And then and the one that I stole like 2 or 3 in one go, which was where I had like cargo shorts on and I put one in each pocket and one down my back. And then I had my 2 friends carry me out like I was hammered.
Oh my God. That was like that's good, elaborate plan. Stealing.
Yeah.
Plan. Yeah.
I still have one of those glasses.
Oh God. I have never stolen anything. I just used to like, I was on that show Pretty Little Liars for 7 years and I would just like go home in the clothes, not the clothes, but like they'd give you like sweatshirts and stuff. And they were so comfy, like sweatpants. Cause it was like 4 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m. You're doing a night shoot and you're so cold. Oh, like you like those booties and like, you're like all warm. And then I would just like take it home.
And then you stole more than that, Tammin, from your show, I'm sure.
What? No, I didn't, because my character was like a villain, crazy ass, you know, she wasn't like a fashionista. But you just, there's those kind of things, like you're like, they don't really need the sweats back, you know. And now I have like 300 pairs of sweats from all the shows. That, no, but they're just things like that where you're like, I guess it's stealing. I guess I'm
that and just a bunch of Jonathan's hearts is the only thing.
There you go.
I don't think they really cared. I think they were there for the good time. They did not. Well, no. One guy, one guy, I broke his heart. No, maybe a couple, but one of them, he wanted to pay for my, I had hair extensions back then. Oh my God. Yes. And I broke up with him and he wanted to pay for my hair extensions, even though I kept saying that like we're over, and he walked into the hair salon and he started crying. Guys, this does not happen. It does not happen with my husband. Believe me, he does not like him to get away with anything. And he was sobbing at my feet. And he, and then I was like, well, he's like, I still want to pay for your hair extensions. And I was like, okay. It was so
hard. Okay, one more.
Oh, I'm loving it.
One more.
Okay.
Never have I ever gotten arrested.
Oh, I got arrested.
What? Tell, oh, yeah. Tell the story.
I broke into City Hall when I was 18. In like 2 in the morning, mm-hmm. something like that. And really dumb. I was like 18 and my buddy and I broke in thinking, because it wasn't the town that we lived in. Mm. It was a different town. And we thought it was some sort of like, not like a museum because it was a small town, but like one of those like historical buildings. Mm. And it was town hall.
Yeah, it's kind of really important.
It is a really big detail. And we went in and walked around, and then I looked at like one of the doors and it said like representative so-and-so. And I was like, oh, we have to go like now. And we walked out the door to a lot of cops with their guns on us.
Oh, shit.
And we got arrested, and then nothing came of it because they were like, "What? Why'd you break in?" And we just didn't have an answer.
You just wanted to look around.
Yeah. Really bored.
Now I understand the Dumb Dad podcast. Now I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
My wife is a cop, and that's when she knew.
Is she really a cop? She's not a cop, is she?
No, she's not a cop.
I was like, that's hot. I mean, weird. Sorry.
That's hot.
Then you got married. It's like... Yeah.
Either marry me or go to prison, and here I am.
Okay.
Anyone else been arrested?
I've not been arrested.
Well, thanks, guys, so much for being on our
Thank you so
show.
Much for having us on.
Yeah, yes. For
we had
sure.
so much fun, and I think we might be coming on your show. Maybe after the show, you're like, "Yes, we should love for you to come on our show." You'll be like, "Oh, we'll see you tomorrow," and then you like never respond.
They like ghost us, and we're like, "Wait, where are you guys?"
Ghosts are so fast.
Wait, that's what happens sometimes. You're like,
we're
gonna
come up with very specific "never have I evers." That's what it's gonna be. Oh.
Never have and I ever been on a podcast.
Yeah, and we're obviously very shy, so be careful.
Yeah. All right.
So we'll prep. Be gentle.
Yeah, we just will. Be really careful.
Thank you so much, though, for having me. This is awesome.
This was fun. Now I have to get back to my real life. Cry about it. Just kidding. A little bit. Well, Roxy Soxy, where can everyone find us?
Everybody.
Wait, where can they find you, guys? Where can they find you?
Where can they find you guys?
Best you can find us on Twitter if you want. We don't do anything. But Instagram and TikTok at DumbDadPod.
That's watch them, guys. They're funny. Like, you've got to watch them. Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah. Thank you so
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
And Roxy Soxy, where can everyone find us?
Well, you can find us on Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on
Facebook.
You got it, girl. Yeah. I always get that one wrong.
And Clubhouse, Women on Top.
We are Women on Top. We're the women on top, on the side of the bottom. And on that note, I'm not drunk or high. I just am like this.
Want a blackberry?
Yeah. I just want a blackberry. So if someone wants to give me a foot massage I actually need a new iPhone. Blackberry. I've upped my foot prices, my foot massage prices. I am definitely for the new iPhone. So excited. My husband doesn't know what he got. I mean, come on. Not everyone can say that. I'm going to go tell him. I'm going to be like, you know what? Bitch.
If you guys do our podcast, we'll send you a couple of old blackberries.
Thank you. Maybe throw some hair extensions.
Yeah, please do. I am Tamin Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are Women.
On
top.